Our first speaker, that's going to be Alan Jay from the Novana area.
Thanks. My name is Alan. I'm an addict. It's good to be here first. Thanks to Denise for chairing this thing. I chaired CPRC in 812. I know what a job that one is. My thanks to Wayne for asking me to get up here and talk about a tradition meeting. At the same time, my wife is next door talking about slowly committing suicide, which is probably a pretty exciting topic as well. And also to the board of directors, because I've been on the board of directors as well, and frankly, I know how much effort it takes to be able to help do the overseeing of this thing, and how much anxiety there is whenever anything happens as far as that's concerned. So truly, truly, thanks to all those people who've put this thing on. The workshop now, traditions 4, 5, and 6, for those of you who've forgotten what 4, 5, and 6 are, you're in luck. I actually wrote them down so I would get them right. Tradition 4 is, in my mind, it's about the difference between unmanageable and ungoverned. Tradition 5 is pretty much how our 12th step works. And tradition 6 talks about things like conventions and how the hell, why don't we have Narn on at this convention? And now I'll start off by saying, since we're talking about traditions, most of the time what I have learned about their traditions comes from people telling me that I have violated them. And then coming up to me later and telling me that I am doing my single-handed best to ruin Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not suggesting that any of you have violated our traditions in the particular ways that I have violated our traditions, so your lessons about that may not be the same as mine. I don't want to make this an unsafe place for you, so I'll just tell you right offhand, this is my opinion about these traditions. There is more information to be found elsewhere, I'm sure, but I will be glad to give you my information about these traditions. That having been said, the tradition 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. In 1985, I went to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and they were sitting around with candles and singing Kumbaya with guitars and absolutely enjoying themselves. And I met somebody there who is clean today. The fact is, I didn't use either. I'm still clean, have been since. So it did not kill me to go into that place. If somebody came up today and said, hey, I have heard that there is this group that's doing this kind of stuff, shouldn't we go stop them? Because after all, that surely is going to cause some newcomer to go out and use. My experience would have to be no. The fact is that it may seem like the people who are running that group, it may seem like they're somewhat unmanaged in their own personal stuff. In other words, they're trying to bring things into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting that may be a little bit awkward for some people, but we don't govern anybody here. The fact is, Narcotics Anonymous is completely voluntary. If you don't like what you see in a meeting, go somewhere else, is really the message. It's a kind of a tough message, but that's really been my experience. I've been at area services where people have said, shouldn't we take them off the meeting list? Because after all, they're not acting like we want them to act in one way or another. They may not be sending a GSR to the area service. Well, no GSR at the area service, then why should they be on our meeting list? Because after all, it is our meeting list. Well, my personal opinion on this one is that it's not our meeting list. It's a list made available so that addicts who need to find a meeting can find a meeting. It's not about us versus them. It's just, a meeting list, for example, is just a device that we use to be able to communicate who we are and what we do and where we meet. If an area service thinks that more meetings ought to have representatives at the area service, perhaps what they should do is look and see what are they offering the groups. If there's no incentive, you won't get anybody in a voluntary organization. And that is for real true. It's in a voluntary organization. People show up because there's some reason to. Now, and one of the reasons why many people even bother sending a GSR is to pick up literature. I don't think that's a bad idea. I think it's a little underhanded for a to have an area service be a place for getting literature. But, you know, on the other hand, maybe that's one way to be able to actually offer a tangible service that people can see. So tradition four, in my mind, just basically says an NA group, as long as it is an NA group, it can pretty much do what it wants. Now, what is an NA group? Our basic text tells us. And an NA group is any group that meets regularly at a specified place and time for the purpose of recovery, provided that it follows the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous. That's a pretty broad thing. To tell you the truth, this group that I went to, even though it wasn't good for me, as far as I know, was trying to follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous as best they had them at the time. They had a little white book, and it's where I first saw the little white book. They didn't have any basic text or anything else, but those things weren't as common back then. And so, you know, that's what they had, and so that's what they were using. It is better than some of the other meetings that I did go to, where they're actually using the literature from other fellowships, because that was more convenient for them, and they were more familiar with that. So the meeting, by the way, I will say, doesn't exist still. In the same location as that meeting, however, is where my home group is now. And I've been going to that meeting on a Friday night in McLean, Virginia. It's called I'm Somebody, and you all are certainly welcome. Starts at 8 o'clock. If you want to show up, please come. Tradition 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Let me tell you, in my opinion, Narcotics Anonymous does something that's really, really unimaginably difficult. What we try and do is we try and have a very difficult conversation. You know, we try and make it a safe place to be able to talk about some of the most serious things that affect me. You know, I go into a meeting, I really need to feel like I can talk about, or at least hear people talk about stuff where the things that I'm really afraid of, things that I really want, you know, my dreams, because I'm the type of person who, if I dream about something and I put it out there, what I expect is somebody's going to stomp on it, you know. And I don't know where I got that message, but it's been my message for a long time. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I decided I'm going to go on this vacation. I'm going to hop in the RV. We're going to drive down to an NA meeting down in Marathon Key, down in the Keys in southern Florida. And I'm going to go down there and enjoy the weekend and have a wonderful time and then drive back up. And as soon as I heard myself saying that, I am like, oh, my God, I just said that out loud. It means it won't happen. I know it won't happen. If I hadn't said it, I could have gotten away with it. But as soon as I announced to the universe that I wanted to go, I know that it can't happen now. I am hoping that I'm wrong. So I have been doing the what happens when you put it out there, and you know whether you meant to or not, and now you're certain that it's not going to work. Well, there's two options. One is that you abandon your plan because you know it won't work, and the second is that you just sort of throw it out there like you meant to, and just sort of brave your way on through it. And that's what I'm doing. And I have been doing that. I have been mentioning this in Narcotics Anonymous meetings. I've been finding meetings where I thought it was safe to talk about this kind of stuff. And that's what NA does. Our basic text says that the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. And the group is the most powerful vehicle we of Narcotics Anonymous have to carry our message. I mean, part of the problem is that you may hear me sharing and you may identify out with the way I'm talking or with what I'm saying or with the way I'm dressed or with the girl sitting over there or the guy. Or you may find some reason to identify out. But if you keep coming back, what you'll find out is whether or not the group is for real. If you come to my home group, you may never like me, but you might like the home group. And that is because our group is real. I mean, we have people who show up, who are consistent, who are coherent, and who do their best to make it a safe place to share the message of recovery. And that's really what Tradition 5 is getting to. Our primary purpose is to carry the message. The message is that any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope and the promise of freedom. If you went to the convention a few years ago, you would have heard that over and over again. It's a wonderful statement about what Narcotics Anonymous is all about. It's a wonderful statement of what our 12th step is. Now, I will just mention, because our basic text does, an NA group has as its primary purpose to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. For an individual, our primary purpose is to personally recover. Groups, however, are not addicted, and so groups don't recover. Groups do something else. They carry a message. I have heard people say that my primary purpose as an addict in recovery is to carry the message. And that may be a good thing to do, but I would say that wait until you're at the 12 step before you start doing 12 step work. And so for an individual, part of your recovery is going to be to carry the message to other addicts who still suffer. But I ask you to try and at least go with somebody if you're going on a 12-step call. On the other hand, if you help make a group happen, if you're a coffee maker, if you're a regular attendee, if you're a secretary or a chairperson, you are laying the foundation in your own life for the 12-step work that you'll be doing the rest of your life, as far as I can tell. I've been doing it for 20 years. That seems like a long time. It is a long time in my life. It's a percentage of my life. It's a huge chunk. But I will tell you, as far as I can tell, it's something that I'll just keep doing because it works, Imagine that. Finally, tradition six. This is the one I like to talk about just because I like the controversy involved. I have been a part of the CNP convention for a long time. I worked registration in CPR CNA 1. I was the treasurer for CPR CNA 2 and on the board of directors for 3, 4, and 5, and then others, the chair of 12, that kind of thing. This has been a really important convention to me, and it often comes around, how come we don't do like this other fellowship and have our recovery meeting in room 1 while they have their spouse and family member recovery meeting in room 2? Other fellowships do it. Why don't we? And it may be that is something that really does work for them. I mean, it may be that's what has developed in their in their way of doing things. I will tell you, for the most part, it's because Tradition 6 says that we will not endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. And our basic text says that includes other fellowships. That includes even similar fellowships. And this convention is a part of Narcotics Anonymous. It is not different than, it is not separate than Narcotics Anonymous. Some conventions I have been to, I think, are. Some conventions, in my personal opinion, are in fact outside enterprises. Because what they are about is being all about themselves. They're about making money, continuing their longevity, having these long-established personal relationships and business relationships with vendors, and they are all about just their own continuation. And they are not, like our convention, about being tied into the fellowship as close as we can tie it in. You notice if you go into merchandise, for our convention, there is some need to be able to let some other vendors in to be able to help us be able to get a full array of merchandise. But really what we're focused on here is we are focused on selling NA merchandise. And we mean merchandise that is produced for NA area services, for NA service offices, for other conventions. We're not interested in being a showcase for all the merchandise that's out there from everybody who ever made any recovery-oriented merchandise. We're not about showcasing all the various forms of recovery that are available. There's lots of booksellers who'd like to show up with their books, and there are lots of other programs who would say, we don't want to be a speaker at your work at your convention, but we'd like to at least show up to let people know that we're here. And we've had those requests. We've had people show up who do artwork, some of the photography stuff. And for a while there, we had some photographers who wanted to take pictures of addicts at the dance, and they it had like Jane's Photography or something on it. And we said, no, we're not about endorsing Jane's Photography. Even though we're glad you're here, you're offering a service to our members so they can have memorabilia of their time at the convention. We are keeping, this is only about a Narcotics Anonymous convention, and it's scaled down in ways that are to protect the members, to protect us, to be out so that when we come here, what we know we're going to hear is an NA message, and that's about it. That we're going to see NA stuff, and that's about it, and that it's going to be just basically an NA convention, and that's about it. rather than all the other ways in which this convention could tweak it to make a little more money here, we could get a little bigger there, we could make it political over yonder. We don't do that at this convention. I'm really glad we don't do that. And it goes back to this convention, I mean this tradition. It goes back to, we don't endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility. We just don't do that kind of stuff. You know, all we want to do is have a safe place for people to be able to come and hear an NA message, to be able to share an NA message, and to be able to find some recovery like that. I mean, but how cool is that, you know? I mean, for people to be able to say, we are going to sort of willingly and voluntarily scale ourselves down to be right-sized. Why? Because we're not trying to be bigger than we are. We're not trying to be something that we're not. We're not trying to do anything like that. Come on now, we're just trying to recover. You know, and that is so cool because here I am, you know, 20 years later, still enjoying the convention. You know, I'm still showing up here and still doing this. You know, because if it was about tricks and stuff, if it was about bright lights and all that stuff, dude, I'd have been here and done that. I'd have seen it already. I'd have showed up for it. I'd have enjoyed it. I wouldn't come back. Why bother? You know, I mean, it's like, how many times can you go on the same ride? Well, I mean, a lot maybe, but, you know, at some time you're going to get tired. You're going to get a life and go do something else. But this convention is always different. It's always different because it's always about NA, and it's about the evolving experience that NA members have to share. And that makes it work for me. Sometimes I come here just as I've been here at times just as a cure for my, you know, being tired and bored and, you know, angry at work. And sometimes I've come here hoping to meet somebody and sometimes I've come just to be able to chill out and hide. Always I've kind of gotten what I've wanted to be able to have here. And that's the secret to a good convention. I will say just in closing, because this convention, again, my opinion, because this convention is a Narcotics Anonymous convention, because it is Narcotics Anonymous, it's not different than, it's not separate than, it really is. It has a measure of autonomous stuff that many other conventions don't. Last year's convention isn't like this year's convention. Next year's convention won't be like this year's convention. It will change. It will evolve. It'll be different. You know, there is continuity, but the fact that there's continuity doesn't mean there's not new ideas and new ways of doing things. You know, and I think that's valuable. You know, it's nice to be able to go to a convention where you can watch things change and watch them evolve and watch the new ideas being tried and stuff. I remember the first couple of conventions we had here, there wasn't, this convention center wasn't this big. It was one big room with six rooms, on the sides, and we had and so we met there. And what we did was we had on Saturday night we had this banquet speaker meeting thing. And the reason we did that was because, well, everybody was here, and we thought, well, everyone's going to be in that room. Let's put it all together. Let's instead of having, you know, a couple thousand addicts all showing up at Phillips or some other place like that saying, hi, reservation for 35, and having them try and seat you or something, we thought, we will actually provide the food here so that we can do that. But if we're going to provide the food here, we can't set it up and then set it down so that we can have a speaker meeting. So we're going to have to mix the speaker meeting in with it. So, okay, you had the banquet and the speaker meeting all mixed in together. And then somebody got this idea, you know what, with this new convention, it's like we can separate these two. We can have them over here, the banquet over here and the speaker meeting over here. And then the next convention said, no, we thought that was a terrible idea. We want to put it all together. And so we had it all together in this big, in the big room over there. And they thought, no, that didn't work for us either. Well, how about we'll have it off-site? And so what's happened is we've tried a whole bunch of different things to be able to see what works. In my experience, it's all worked. In my experience, it's all been good. And I actually kind of like the fact that it's always a little different. There's always something else going on. The only thing I can say is that that one of the things about having it here and then having it somewhere else and then having it here again and moving it around is we have made this convention center jump through some hoops in order to be able to support us. And that actually has helped a little bit in the food. I thought last year's food here was not the usual rubber chicken, which was nice. I mean, if we're making them do some work and making them show up for some of their personal responsibility, I'm all about that, you know, right on, Narcotics Anonymous, you know. We are carrying the right kind of message to society at large. You know, go figure. Of course, we're doing it for our own selfish reasons, but that's the kind of people we are anyway, right? So, it's no surprise there. I can't wait to show up for next year's convention for two reasons, and I'm going to close with this. Next year's convention, my wife's going to be the chair, so she's going to make me show up, so I guess I'm stuck doing that whether I want to or not. But also because next year there are a bunch of people who don't have a lot of pre-convention experience who are going to be putting on the convention. It is going to be new and different. People are going to be showing up who are not thinking inside the usual box that we're used to thinking in, you know. And for that reason, amongst others, I am going to be stepping back and saying, what y'all going to do? And the reason is because I want to see what new ideas can come out and what new ideas can make this thing happen. So next year, there's a bunch of people from three areas, from the Battlefield area, from the Northern Virginia Nirvana area, and from the Dulles Corridor area. Those three areas are getting together with a whole bunch of people with some experience, not tons. And I think it's going to be just absolutely a blast. And that's kind of what I'm hoping for. You know, again, the thing I'm expecting, though, is it's going to be a safe place to be able to come, to be able to get to some meetings, to be able to enjoy yourself, and find some recovery, bring your friends. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing, Anthony Allen. Allen J. At this time, I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Anthony W. from D.C.
I'm an addict named Anthony. It's a blessing to be in a meeting, and I'd like to thank Alan for sharing for us his experience, strength, and hope on Traditions 4, 5, and 6. I've been taught, most of all, that when I'm sharing, that I should share in a general way what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, to qualify in. So to let you to know a little bit about me, like I said, my name is Anthony. I'm from the D.C. area. My clean date is December 6, 1993. And I didn't come to Narcotics Anonymous brimming with love, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. When I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I was a bum off the street. The bottom had fell out. And the only reason why I came into Narcotics Anonymous was because I wanted somebody to help me with my thinking. Okay? Not that I was shooting dope and smoking crack. It was just the fact that my thinking was messed up. So what I saw was that if you all could help me out with my thinking, then I could get everything else together, And what I'm grateful for is that I've stayed around long enough to understand that, when I got here, I just had a whole lot of warped thinking, and it just didn't change overnight. It has come, slowly over a period of time that I've seen the process and the miracle of Narcotics Anonymous take place in my life for me to understand what this whole program is about. When I got here, I really wasn't willing to do anything. I really wasn't interested. I went into a treatment facility because, like I said, I had lost everything. I remember my story is that 1983, I was sent to a meeting. I'm not going to say to Narcotics Anonymous. I was sent to a meeting because I was in Southeast Washington and I got jammed in a situation. That's what I keep saying, but it was the jump out squad. I'd been out there copping, and I'm the only guy up in Southeast with a suit and tie on. So, it was something wrong in broad daylight, I was sent to court and they said to me, Mr. White, why don't you find you don't have a record. Why don't you find a treatment program or find an aftercare program? Because we see that you have a problem with substance, and that's what I did. I found a outpatient program. I went to one meeting, and I thought you all were crazy. you know, and I left that meeting, and when I got back to Narcotics Anonymous in 1993, like I said, I was a bum off the street. You know, I had lost everything, the car, the house, the marriage, and I was living like Al Litcher said, my living conditions had been reduced to living like an animal. You know, my last day, I remember sleeping on the basement of Bethlehem Baptist Church out there in Martin Luther King Avenue and Heights. And I keep that up front, Martin Luther King Avenue and Howard Road, because what I know is that should I choose to pick up again, Bethlehem Baptist Church basement steps are still there, you know, and it'll take me right back to that. So I keep that real up front, you know. And that's not to say that that was my last day using, because what happened was the police were kicking my feet, trying to find out if I was dead or alive, because I was sleeping under a blanket, and they took me down to a shelter. And that was my first introduction into a shelter system. Now, here's a guy who was able to, you know, graduate from high school, go to college, get a job, amass some things, and be introduced to the shelter system, you know. And I went into the shelter system a cut above, you know, because I wasn't like them, you know. And went into that system, and what I did was I did the best that I know how to do, and that's manipulation. I went in there and I became a resident. I went from being a resident to becoming a member on their staff, to sitting on their board of directors, sending other people to treatment, shooting dope and smoking crack, and telling people that it was still something wrong with my thinking. You know, shooting dope was my recreation, you know. So when I got to treatment in 93, what happened, I remember it, you know, after being out on the run, I was tired and I had stuff, you know, and it was the first time that I had stuff left over, you know, because before I would always tell myself, you know, I'm going to save something for another day so I could get over or get started. And this, and I would it never worked, but this time around I had a whole lot of stuff, and I remember sitting in the room and just seeing out in the universe that just, there's just got to be a better way. And I honestly believe that was the first time I really said a sincere prayer, because the doors began to open, and I was introduced to treatment. I went into that facility. I used to sit in the corner while everybody would have their meetings, and I tell people, leave me alone. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want the hugs, you know. And I tell people I knew I was an alcoholic, but shooting dope was my recreation, and they would tell me, please keep coming back, you know. Don't go nowhere, you know. And believe me, I wasn't trying to go anywhere, because I didn't have nowhere else to go. And it was in that treatment facility for the first time that I heard give yourself a chance, you know. And I stayed, and I went through treatment. And what I understand today is that I did a lot of things, you know, just to stay there, because it offered me a roof over my head, a bed to sleep in, and some food, you know. And what, through the journey of self-acceptance, what I've come to understand through my story is that, you know, for a long time, I wouldn't tell people that I took my works with me to treatment, because I really wanted y'all to come in and say that this program wasn't working. So if y'all said it didn't work for y'all, I'd have an excuse to leave. But y'all come in and y'all share about having bad days, good days, losing husbands, losing wives, losing family members, and at the end of all of this crying that I couldn't understand, y'all would turn around and say, I ain't used today. You know, it's been a good day, you know. And I believe that that was the beginning of this whole process for me of coming to believe in Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And what happened was my high power put a person in my life that came down to this convention. And someone spoke on surrender, and in that tape that guy talked about, anything that you put on hold for later was a reservation. And the guy brought the tape back to me, and what the guy talked about was that if you had two candy bars, and if you took one and put it in your pocket and you put the other one in the refrigerator, if the one that you had with you melted, you always knew in the back of your mind you had the one in the refrigerator. And for some reason, that analogy made sense to me, you know. And what I did was I remember, you know, after sneaking around, after we would go to meetings, I'd always go back to my little cube, pull out my works and look at them and tell myself that, you know, when you get 60 days, you're going to celebrate, you know, or if you get 90 days, you're really going to have a blast, you know. And what happened was that that day that I heard that God talk about anything that you put on hold for later was a reservation, and when it clicked, I remember going back to my cube and taking those things out and crushing them, and I believe that was the beginning of my process of surrender. Because at that point, I began to do what y'all said do. I stopped sitting in the back of the room, you know. I'd get a hug begrudgingly. I'd let y'all hug me, but I'd, you know, cringe and get away from y'all real quick, you know. And I started moving toward the front. And y'all said some things about get a sponsor and all of that crap. And I had to take a look at that. I was 41 years old when I got the treatment. And what did I need a sponsor for? Yeah. And what y'all kept saying to me was that if you knew how to control your life, or if you knew how to manage your life, why are you sitting in here with us? You know, you need some help. So what I did was I did ask somebody that I saw in meetings to sponsor me, and I asked them to do it in name only because I had issues with you people, you know. And herein was my entrance into what the steps were all about and what the traditions really began to talk about. And, you know, it was at that point I began to understand, you know, what the first three traditions talk about. You know, our common welfare comes first. You know, personal recovery depends on NA unity, you know, and how important the individual is to the group, just as the group is important to the individual, that I can't survive or exist without the group, and that the group can't exist or survive without me, you know, and that we all cooperate and commingle together, you know. Second tradition about our leaders are but trusted servants, and, you know, and the third tradition about, you know, my thoughts just went away from me, y'all. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using, yes, you know, and I'm grateful, you know, for that tradition, you know, about having the only requirement for membership, because when I got here, you know, what I found out in that one particular tradition, that if there was a requirement, I wouldn't be here, you know, and what I've learned in the traditions of 4, 5, and 6 and how I got involved with that, you know, is, and I'm grateful that I've learned that there is no right way or wrong way to work or practice the traditions, you know. What began to happen for me was that as I began to stay here and do what my sponsor suggested, after I really realized that I wanted to be here, you know, that as I broke him, he would show me, okay, now let's look at the application that you need to work with, you know. And when it came around to the fourth tradition, what I've learned in that tradition, I'm grateful for, is the diversity in Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And what I found out in the fourth tradition is that, you know, when I got here, there are a lot of meetings that take place in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and that's the one good thing that I'm grateful for, because when I got here, you know, I remember early on, my sponsor first told me that because I had some issues, and I used to say to him all the time, I had issues, the first thing he said to me is, you need to go to some gay meetings, you know, and I looked at him like, I need to go where? And he said, since you got some phobias, you know, you need to go to some gay meetings, and what I'm talking about is the diversity in our fellowship, because what the fourth tradition has let me see is that there are a lot of meetings. It's not about the name that's on them, that we have a lot of speakers meetings, we have question and answer meetings, we have open discussion meetings, we have step meetings in here, and that therein comes the diversity of what our fourth tradition talks about in the anonymity, you know. And what it is for me in that fourth tradition is that even though that there are diverse segment of meetings around here, our primary message and our primary focus must be the same, you know. We cannot be diverted. We cannot change that principle, you know, that while our commonality is just the fact of carrying the message that any addict, and Alan talked about, that any addict can lose the desire to use and find a new way to live, you know. And that's what I found out in our fourth tradition, you know, about the anonymity piece and the autonomy, you know. And what I began to realize in that, you know, it began to help me see that. And it talks about it in our literature that every meeting is not going to be for every addict, you know. So herein comes the choice of being able to go to any meeting that you want to go to at any given time, you know. And our literature also talks about, and Alan alluded to it, that how do you know if it's an NA meeting? As long as it follows the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, that's an NA meeting, you know. And as long as the message is the same, you know. When I got down to our fifth tradition about our primary purpose, you know, what I found with that was that our message can't be diluted. We cannot, you know, we shouldn't. It's not so much that we cannot, you know, we shouldn't go away from what our primary purpose is. A lot of us come in here with different professions. We have a lot of lawyers. We have a lot of doctors. You know, we have teachers, you know. But once we come here to Narcotics Anonymous, our meetings must be about recovery and be recovery-oriented, you know. And that's what I found out about in our fifth tradition, you know. When I got down to the sixth tradition and working with the sixth tradition, you know, the one thing that I found out was that my home group, I've been in the same home group for the last 11 years. And when I got clean in that home group, we were meeting in a treatment facility. And probably 5 years into my getting clean, that treatment facility asked us to leave, you know, and because what they wanted to do was they wanted to dictate to us how we should run the meeting, you know. And what I'm grateful for was that there were enough members in that meeting who knew that we shouldn't lend our name to that treatment facility or allow that treatment facility to dictate to us how we should run that meeting, you know. And what we did was we had to move from that facility, you know. And that's what the sixth tradition is all about. It's about, you know, standing up and being responsible, you know, to protect the addict that's still coming, even the addict that's here, but most of all protect the addict and the atmosphere for the addict that's coming, you know. And that was a blessing, you know. And that's not to say that over time, you know, we've been able to go back into that treatment facility because we took a stand. You know, and that's been the blessing behind that, you know. You know, and one of the other things that I found out, even in the sixth tradition, even in all of the traditions, you know, the one thing that I found out about the spiritual principles of anonymity, honesty, humility, integrity, because 4, 5, and 6, those spiritual principles run throughout those traditions. And what I found out, even in the sixth tradition, and all of them, more importantly, is that it's about not so much about how I practice them inside Narcotics Anonymous, but what I do once I leave Narcotics Anonymous. Once I leave the meeting, you know, how do they apply in my life, you know? And my first real application came about when, after being here and I did what y'all said do, I got in service in my home group, became a coffee maker, became a secretary, became a GSR, I went to area, I stayed at area for a while, and then, you know, came to the region and to the board, you know, of directors for CMP. But more importantly, I think it was thank God for sponsorship, and that's how I have to say it, because I think that I remember one time going to my sponsor and telling my sponsor that I really wanted to be the chairperson in our home group meeting. And he said to me point blank about service. And he just simply said to me that, you really want to be in service? He says, the next time the facility that you're in needs somebody to mop the floor in the middle of the night, you get up and do that. You know, find out what selfless service is all about first before you do anything else, you know. So the next time I went to him and told him, you know, that I was really getting ready to do something was a couple of years ago when D.C. area hosted the convention. And I remember going to him and saying to him, you know, hey, man, you know, D.C. area is getting ready to host a convention, and I put it out there, da-da-da, and he just simply said to me, okay, let's deal with what the Sixth Tradition talks about. You know, and I kept saying, okay, well, it talks about N.A. ought never endorse, finance, or lend the N.A. name to any related facility. And he says, no, he says, let's go to the second part of it. Let's talk about money, property, and prestige, and you. Yeah. And what he helped me see was, like, let's take a look at the addict that came in here with low self-esteem and low self-worth. And what are you going to get out the deal, and what are you trying to do with this? You know, getting involved on the convention level, you know, what are you planning to do? You know, what is your motive? You know, because what I had to take a look at is that there are times in my life and living, still dealing with low self-esteem and low self-worth, that sometimes when property prestige, just in the name, will make me feel good, you know. And what he had to do was make me take a look at that, you know. And, you know, I'm so grateful for that, because what it began to do was really help me go back and begin to ask my higher power to take me to that place of humility and peace, you know, to understand that whatever I do in Narcotics Anonymous is not for me, you know. And it's about selfless service, you know, and that's what I look at with the Sixth Tradition, because even though it's about lending our name to outside facilities, yes, it says that we, you know, it's about, that tradition is about cooperation, because we do cooperate with outside entities, you know, but we don't allow them to come in and become a part of us and take away what our primary purpose is, you know. So, you know, when I got to that part, you know, the blessing has been, you know, in that every time I get ready to do something in the name of service or for service in Narcotics Anonymous, I always think about what my sponsor said to me that day, and I really begin to ask, okay, what am I getting out the deal? What is my motive? You know, and if it's about selfless service, because the bottom line is that I don't want to get caught up in property and prestige, and I can divert the purpose, our primary purpose, just with my own opinion and my own personality, you know. And that's what these traditions help me do, is stay out of my own personality and practice the principles of Narcotics Anonymous, that I can be free to carry a message, you know. And that's what it's about. And these traditions talk about being able to hear a clear message of Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And when it's all said and done, we can say a whole lot of things, but the one message that rings true is that any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, find a new way to live, you know. If you don't believe it, just show up, just keep coming back, show up, keep coming back, and you'll see the process, you'll see the miracle. You know, that's what it's all about. With that, I'll keep coming back. Thanks.